This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon, produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. It is our prayer that this program will inspire and motivate you to turn to the Scriptures alone for God's truth. The subject of authority continues to be the focus in this week's cover article. Along with his guest, Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about Himself, about us, what He expects of us, and most importantly, what He has done for us, that we might spend eternity with Him. My out-of-studio partner on today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. Mike, the topic for this program is authority. The question we're considering is, to what or to whom do we turn for religious truth? There are more than a few ideas around on this subject. For example, some would say they trust their own feelings or intuition, or they trust their reason about God and heaven and such things. Others say they trust their church or pastor or priest. For still others, it's a mixture of their own ideas along with their church teachings. And then there are those like us, Mike, and I know you agree, who look to the Bible as the sole objective source of God's truth. Now, what's the problem with some of these approaches?
Well, ultimately, we have to look to the most trustworthy authority, because probably the most important decision we all make in this life is, in which authority should we trust our eternal destiny?
Right.
And you mentioned feelings and intuition. Well, they can be subjective. But you also mentioned churches or pastors or priests. Well, all of them can make mistakes. But ultimately, the most trustworthy authority is the objective truth of God's Word. I think we would all agree that there's no higher authority than God, and that He has revealed His plan of redemption to mankind through His Word, the written Word.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a very simple decision to make as far as whom to trust as the most trustworthy authority. It would be God and His Word.
Right. But it's amazing, Mike, and I'm sure many of our listeners, well, some may even be thinking this way, that without really scrutinizing their beliefs, some just feel, well, it's just kind of my opinion, and I think my opinion's as good as the next guy's, and I think a lot of people are looking at faith that way, or things religious, it's just anybody's opinion.
Well, again, opinions can fool you. The nature of man is to be deceived by believing other than the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we grow up, you know, we begin trusting our parents, and we wouldn't believe for a moment that our parents would deceive us or lie to us. But, you know, if they've been passed down heresies from their parents and grandparents and the church that they attended, then that's what the children end up getting, is more lies passed down. So ultimately, we have to test everything with the Word of God, and the Scriptures encourage us and exhort us to do that. I always like to encourage Catholics with the Apostle Paul. Here he wrote over half the New Testament, but when he went to the church of Berea to preach, they were commended because they examined the Scriptures daily to find out if what Paul was teaching was true. And so here you see the standard is the Word of God for discerning truth from error. And it was such a standard that even the apostle was held to it. And so we, to this day, no matter who's teaching us, we need to scrutinize their teaching with the standard of the Word of God as well.
Mike, now, I know you as a former Roman Catholic, you trusted in your church. I did as well. That's what I grew up in. And it's a little difficult when you've just grown up with an authority, even though you may not like a lot of the teachings or ideas, and, you know, didn't sort of suit well with the situation or circumstance you're in, but you trusted mostly in the church, didn't you? As
100%. In fact, I had an interesting seminar when I was a Roman Catholic. At the age of 34, there was a man that came to town by the name of Josh McDowell, and the seminar was titled "Evidence for the Christian Faith." And as I looked at the ad, I had a desire to go because I didn't know there was evidence for the Christian faith. I was taught just to believe whatever the priest told you and consider it to be truth. So I attended this seminar, and for 3 days I sat under the tutelage of Josh McDowell and found out that the Bible needs to become the sole authority in all matters of faith. And so as I began searching the scriptures and comparing that with the teachings of the Catholic Church, I found many errors. I found many of the teachings of the Catholic Church that didn't line up with scripture. And so it was a difficult process, as I'm sure it was with you, Tom, to finally come to the point that I need to put all my trust and hope and confidence in the Word of God, even if it went against my church's teachings.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, I can remember, although I thought the church gave us a lot of latitude, the church being the Roman Catholic Church, gave us a lot of latitude in what we could believe. I think that was something that I made up. Really, we didn't have much latitude, did we?
No, in fact, oftentimes Catholics are not aware that they cannot treat Catholic teaching as a smorgasbord, to take a little bit of that and pass over that.
It was called cafeteria Catholics. I think
right.
That's what I was.
No, they're under the condemnation of the church if they do not believe all the dogmas that have been passed down.
Mm-hmm.
There is no choice in the matter for Catholics.
Mm-hmm. So how did you break? I mean, I know you heard Josh McDowell, but what else was going on in your life that made you think that things weren't as square or squared away as some might think?
Well, the most critical issue is that what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And as I searched the scriptures, I found the Catholic Church erred in this most critical question that we all face. And so after I searched the scriptures and found out the Catholic Church had a different plan of salvation, that they had added requirements to the simple gospel of grace, it was then that I began calling my uncle, who's been a Catholic priest now for 54 years, and I asked him to explain, why does the Catholic Church deceive its people on the most critical issue? What must I do to be saved? And he would pacify me with different quotations and different traditions of the church, but ultimately it was a decision I had to make to depart from the teachings of the church and put my trust in God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike, when you use the word the Catholic Church deceives, we're talking about a church of a billion people, been around for a long time. You think this is a deception, an intentional deception, or is this just what they have come to believe themselves or the church itself?
I don't believe that they think they're deceiving people. I think what's happened, as you look back over the last 1,600 years, you've seen pagan traditions and customs that have crept into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pagan traditions have commingled with the Word of God, and there's been an erosion of truth. And so now you have a compromised gospel. And we face the same thing within the evangelical or Protestant church, and that is many pastors want to control their people, and so they begin adding extra things that they must do in order to appease a holy God. So I think throughout the years that's what the Catholic Church has done, and it's kept its Catholics in bondage where they have to come back to church every Sunday in order to be saved, in order to receive more and more of God's grace
mm-hmm.
through the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of control, and Jesus told us, when you know the truth will set you free, and I believe it sets you free not only from the bondage of sin, but also from the bondage of deception.
Right. Mike, it's interesting that verse begins, if you abide in my word, Jesus was saying, you will know the truth. So really, he's appealing to the scriptures, to his word. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Mike, a common retort from Catholic apologists, many of which are former evangelicals, by the way, and it's over the issue of individual responsibility for what one believes, and they would say that, well, that leads Mike Gendron, for example, as the authority in his own life, and out of something like that, out of that idea would come so many denominations, so many different ideas that everybody's running around confused, whereas to them, the Catholic Church, having the authority, that's trustworthy. But how do you respond to something like that?
Well, I respond quite simply that one day we will all be held responsible for what we did with God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I would refer Catholics to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul says, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So right there you see that the Apostle Paul is appealing to each and every individual. He's not writing his letters to a church magisterium for them to interpret the Word of God for all the Catholic faithful, but he's appealing to every man's conscience. And so one day we will all be held responsible for, did we believe the Word of God? Did we read it? Did we understand it? And, you know, oftentimes Catholics will say, as you have mentioned, there's over 20,000 denominations because we've all interpreted the Bible differently. But when it comes down to the essentials of the gospel, every born-again Christian has believed it. And the fact that we have 20,000 different denominations, I think, is more evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, because the gospel brings division. It separates believers from unbelievers. And when a church begins going into apostasy, the true believers will depart from that church, and there may be a new church plant.
And it's another aspect of this is that no, whether you call them Protestant or evangelical, none that I would know of or that are reasonable would say that they were saved through their denomination, through their church. They're saved through the gospel. And any denomination is only, to me, true in the sense that they do proclaim the gospel.
That's right. So every born-again Christian agrees on one thing, and that is what the gospel is, what the essentials are, and whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient and necessary for salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mike, this issue of authority is something that we're about out of time for this segment, but it's something we're going to continue with. Last week we talked with Jim McCarthy. Next week we'll discuss the same issue with Greg Durrell, all of our sort of co-directors in Reaching Catholics for Christ. So that's going to be the issue, and I think it's a very important issue for our listeners.
I agree, and the Bible is unique in its authority. And one of the things that I have shared in my book, Preparing Catholics for Eternity, is just how unique the Scriptures are. It's the only religious book that dares to predict the future, and it does it with 100% accuracy. It also has a powerful influence on radically changed lives who have read the book and believed it. It also has a sense of unity in that all the books of the Bible fit together to describe one complex drama from eternity to eternity.
Mike, these are just so important, these attributes of God's Word. We can close here with Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Amen.
Tom will continue his discussion on the subject of authority next week with guest Greg Durrell. You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike will respond to questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
I've been told that the Roman Catholic Church regards what it calls sacred tradition as equal to the Bible in terms of authority. What exactly is sacred tradition, and how does the church really know it's from God? Mike, that's a really that's an important question because, as many of our listeners know, the Roman Catholic Church holds tradition, that is, its ideas and teachings, things that came down through the early church fathers, things that were approved and encouraged by popes along the line. All of these they would hold equal with God's Word.
Yes, the Catholic Church does hold tradition equal in authority with the Word of God, and they will actually appeal to three different verses in the New Testament. And I'd like to just quote them, and I'd like to have the listeners pay attention to the tense in which the Apostle Paul is exhorting his readers. 1 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, "Hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you." Past tense, I delivered them to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter." Once again, it's past tense, you were taught. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and does not according to the tradition which you receive from us. Again, past tense. And so the point here is that, yes, there is sacred tradition, and it was apostolic tradition. But once the apostles died, then we are to hold firmly to that deposit of faith in which they delivered once and for all to the saints. We see that in Jude 3 and 4. And so the key here is that, yes, there is tradition, but it's in the past tense. It was once delivered to the saints.
Mm-hmm. Mike, so something that the Catholic Church would call tradition, how would that differ from the tradition that you're referring to here?
Well, if you look at Catholic Church history, you will see over the last 1,600 years, they have established tradition that you will not find in the first century church. You will not find in the first century church in the book of Acts priests offering sacrifices for sins. You won't find infallible men. Mm-hmm. You won't find prayers for souls in purgatory, nor will you find the continuation of Jesus Christ as a sacrificial victim on altars.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these traditions that the Catholic Church has added in the last 1,600 years are not found in the first century church.
Mm-hmm. Mike, and I think we could say that some things that are regarded as tradition, which had real importance, now have been altered or changed slightly. For example, I'm a pre-Vatican II. Vatican II took place in the early 1960s. Well, I grew up in the church prior to that, and for me, eating meat on Friday was a mortal sin, that if had I have died and not confessed that sin, I would have gone straight to hell. That was a tradition. Today, that's not the case. That's been changed. Now, how do you square that with Scripture?
Well, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, why we cannot follow the traditions of men. We have to follow the Word of God. Because nowhere in the Bible does it talk about eating something that would cause you to spend eternity in hell. And what we see is that everyone is deserving of hell, and it's only by trusting God's one and only provision for their sins, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, that we can have the forgiveness of sins. So that's the message that Catholics need to hear. Turn from the traditions of their church to the Word of God, and in there they will find eternal life as they learn about the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This next question, Mike, is an interesting one. Doesn't the long history of the Roman Catholic Church and its great numbers convey that it must be the true Church of God? Now, some people might be thinking that, well, that doesn't really make sense. But on the other hand, it's an impressive church. It's been around a long time. And there are, I'm sure there are some out there saying, well, who are you guys to be challenging this church, especially with its numbers? But Mike, we're not doing it because Mike Gendron says so or because Tom McMahon says so. All we're doing is holding what this church teaches up to the Word of God. Jesus said over and over again, it is written. We find throughout the Scriptures there's an appeal to God's Word as the bottom line. Isn't that right?
Well, it's so true, and I'd like to just address those two points. Number one, the long history of the Catholic Church. We can see even when the Apostle Paul was on earth that we had two streams of Christianity operating side by side. You had the Apostolic Church, which Christ founded, and you also had an apostate church. Paul said, even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth so as to lead disciples away. And so we've seen that we cannot go by the long history of the Catholic Church as being a valid criteria for it being the true church, knowing that we had apostates even in the first century church. And secondly, the Catholic Church would say, we have over 1 billion followers, so how can 1 billion people be wrong? This is what my uncle the priest had told me so often. But Jesus even addressed this in Matthew 7, where he talked about two roads to eternity, the narrow road that leads to life, very few are on it, and the wide road that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. And so, again, if we're looking for the true church, we would look for a small remnant of believers rather than a mass of people following the teachings of a church rather than the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And you can use that same argument. I mean, Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, could say, look, we started out with a handful back in the early 1800s, and now, look, we're all over the world. Yet their teachings are diametrically opposed to what God's Word teaches. So
that's so true, and you could even use the argument of the Muslims. They have a billion strong, so if Catholics are going by sheer numbers, then they would have to say the Muslims must be a true religion as well.
Mm-hmm. And the problem here is Islam does not teach what Roman Catholicism teaches. Roman Catholicism, we're saying here, does not teach what the Bible presents, and in many cases, they're in direct opposition or contradictory to one another. So the point here is, Mike, numbers aside, they all can't be right. They all can't be correct.
Well, that's true. You talked about the differences between the two, but they also have one thing in common, and that is that they both believe that you must do things to appease a holy God. And so that is the case for all the religions of the world. It's based on what people do for God rather than what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so every religion in the world would teach a works-based salvation. So the Muslims and the Catholics have that in common.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you know, I know many who have been listening to the program, some may be evangelicals, and maybe they haven't heard these things before, because throughout the evangelical church, there's a growing acceptance of the teachings of Roman Catholicism, or at least a nodding of the head. Well, it's a little different than what we believe, but it's still, you know, it's still Christian, and we're to love and accept them, even though we have some differences. But the heart of it is the gospel, isn't it? Why are we doing this, Mike? Why are we laying out this information except that we have a love for Roman Catholics and a love which wants them to come to the truth? Not your truth, Mike, not my truth, but the truth of God's Word.
Tom, that's the bottom line. I gave up a successful 17-year corporate career to reach out to Roman Catholics to equip and encourage the saints to do the same, because we love them and we don't want to see them perish. The most sobering words anyone could ever hear is when I meet Jesus Christ at the great white throne and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So we want to reach as many Catholics as we can, turn them to the narrow road that leads to life.
If you have questions for Tom to address in a future broadcast, stay tuned. We'll let you know where to send them in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, produced and distributed by the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics, and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Our hope, prayer, and encouragement is that all who call themselves Christians will take to heart the words of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Gary?
Our ministry offers many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0920. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you can join us again next week for another edition of According to God's Word.